Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, what a great, interesting day in the markets today. Of course, the Dow just got hammered a little bit today. It was down as much as 390 points when they opened, but it did settle back not so deep in that negative territory, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. And it's all being blamed on two companies, and we'll talk about those two companies here in just a little bit. We have the gold reacted a little bit, up $12.80, up $12.80 in the New York spot price, at $1,295.10. Silver was up 18 at 1819. Platinum was up 12 at 1,262. And palladium was up 2 at $784. The USDX today was down 0.84 at 94.08. And crude oil was down 78. Lots of eights. Crude oil was down 78 at 45.93. And as I mentioned, the paper markets today were down, down big. They stopped and they just settled there all day long. Not a whole lot of trading. Went from 390 back down. Tried to reverse itself. Maybe around 250 was the low that I saw, that I came back to. And we're ending the Dow at 291 points to the downside. 17,387. The NASDAQ was down 90 points at 4,681. The S&P was down 27 at 2,029. 10-year yield is 1.82%. Actually, the S&P 500, they 9 of the 10 sectors fell. Technology stocks dropped the most. Utility stocks, where lots of times people go to when they're looking for a little bit of safety, was the only group to rise. But the problems, they're blaming Microsoft. Their shares tumbled after they came out with their quarterly results. And that licensing revenue for its Windows operating system fell 13%. They also blamed Caterpillar. Their stock fell 7.5%. after the company was hurt in the fourth quarter by restructuring costs and issued a weak outlook. And the Commerce Department. So those were the two companies that, you know, they're getting blamed on for the 400-point drop in the paper markets. The Commerce Department reported that orders for long-lasting manufactured goods, that dropped 3.4% in December. And they said the biggest decline was the demand in commercial aircraft. And there was also weakness in machinery, computer, and primary metals all down. And everybody was looking for a small increase for December. And when you look at the long-lasting manufactured goods, you think of the housing reports and all that stuff that goes into new homes and so forth. And you wouldn't think you'd see a drop in that. But the U.S. home prices, they did rise a little bit in November. But the reported sales by the Commerce Department, that new U.S. homes accelerated 11% last month. And again, they're hoping that you know, things are going to improve in the housing market. But report after report, we talk about that the U.S. home market is not doing all that well. You also had Procter & Gamble. They fell almost 4%. What's interesting about that now is they're blaming it on the strong U.S. dollar, how it cut into the consumers' products for the maker's second quarter earnings. So their stock slid almost 4%. European markets, they slipped. The DAX, I'm sorry, was off 1.6%. And so that is it in a wrap. So we'll have to see if there's a follow-through tomorrow. You don't know with the big snowstorm and how big the markets. I mean, New York was basically shut down. And so, you know, we're not sure exactly how the markets truly traded today.
Well, if it's like last winter, Melody, we may not be until June.
That's correct.
We may still be feeling the adverse effects of the especially cold winter of last year until the summer. And maybe we'll get still to that this time, too.
Maybe.
Maybe it takes maybe what you need to do in order to be a competent analyst for whatever's going on in the markets is, first and foremost, you need to be a meteorologist.
Perhaps, yes. You can always be wrong, and no one ever gets mad at you.
Well, you got to be right, apparently. Apparently, the weather is what causes the markets to move up, down, or sideways.
Well, the weathermen can blame the computers because this is what they based all their predictions on.
Can blame Microsoft.
Nobody can blame Microsoft, yes.
Microsoft is having a hard time right now.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. This has been reported once before. The Congressional Budget Office says the Obamacare is going to cost over $2 trillion in the next decade. That number has been floating around for a couple years, and recently I saw one where it's possibly as high as $10 trillion over the next decade. And of course, this is, you know, the health care that wasn't going to cost anybody anything, and we were all going to save money. We're all going to save.
I can't believe how much money we're all saving now.
Yeah, aren't you glad?
Yeah, it's been wonderful. It's been just a wonderful, wonderful legislation, great for all of us.
Of course,
they bankrupt us, but it doesn't matter. We'll still have health care.
And, of course, there's still going to be 31 million people will remain uninsured 10 years from now. So,
well, but not the illegal aliens.
But not the, yeah, no, they will have their insurance.
I understand. That's important.
Yes.
In order to dissuade the illegal aliens from coming into this country, we need to give them Obamacare. That'll scare them off. Put them in Obamacare. That'll teach them. Move into this country. Oh. We'll show you. You can go back to Mexico and you probably get better health care and a better at a lower price.
And here was just a brief commentary on billionaire Jeff Green, who Bloomberg News describes as having amassed a multi-billion dollar fortune investing in real estate and betting against subprime mortgage securities. And this is pretty much what they think of us common folks, and it goes to show they make all these billions of dollars, and they're not going to shed a penny to put back into the economies to help that they're not going to give back, but he has a pessimistic view of the U.S. economy. He says our economy is in deep trouble. We need to be honest with ourselves. We've had a realistic level of job destruction, and those jobs are not coming back. Because of that, he argues, America's lifestyle expectations are far too high and need to be adjusted so we have less things and a smaller, better existence. We need to reinvent our whole system of life. And he made these comments, of course, after flying to Davos with his wife, children, and two nannies on a private jet, just one of about 1,700, of course, that was landed in Davos, Switzerland last week. So we're all supposed to be the ones to tighten our belts and change our lifestyles and expect a lower lifestyle. And
Well, not all of us. It's like the Brave New, what was it? Animal Farm, George Orwell.
Mm-hmm.
All animals are created equal, but some animals are created more equal. And he is among the animals that are more equal. But the rest of you better get ready for a bumpy ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's probably coming. He's probably right in what he's saying. Got an article here from The Guardian, English publication. The headline is, Why the Multi-Million-Dollar Retirement is Not for the Middle Class. We're talking about retirement. That was obvious. And how much money you're going to need to retire and what the odds are you'll be able to retire and so on. And it says a new study advocates a pension plan that's impossible for most families unless they have a huge income and decades to spare. A new study in the Financial Analyst Journal that says retirement is not hopeless. All by itself, that's interesting information. They're admitting that a lot of people think retirement is hopeless right now. And they say, oh, no, it's not. You've still got a chance. And it goes on and says, indeed, all you need to do is save 22 times the annual income you hope to have when you retire. So if you want to retire and have $20,000 a year annual income, you'll need $440,000 in retirement savings when you reach the age of retirement. If you want $100,000 a year, they go on to explain. He says that means if you make $150,000 and hope to retire on $100,000 a year, you only need to sock away $2.2 million in a bank account to be able to retire comfortably. And the authors of the study assume you will live to be 100 years old. But is the proposal realistic or is it a fantasy? It's simply a math problem. Let's suppose you're in your 40s making $150,000 a year and the tax man cometh. That's $150,000 after taxes becomes slightly less dazzling sum of $100,000 a year. Now you have to save that money as well as live on it. How much can you save? A standard and sensible budget, advocated by LearnVest and others, is to use a simple formula called 50-20-30. That means you spend 50% of your salary on necessary expenses, and another 30% goes to lifestyle expenses, things that make life livable, unless you prefer to live in a hut. It's cable and phone plans, clothes, books, gym fees, childcare, pets, restaurants, and entertainment. In other words, you spend 80% of whatever you earn, and you save 20%. Right? 20% for retirement is an aggressive goal. Most people save much less. But on the plan that's proposed here, you should save $20,000 a year if you're making if you net $100,000 after taxes. Get $120,000 a year saved every year, deposited in a bank account, and they're calculating this in bank accounts, not in stocks or bonds or anything else, bank account, to make your retirement comfortable as comfortable as possible. But once you reach this pinnacle of saving virtue, how long would it take you to reach the $2.2 million you need as a minimum for retirement? That's if you want to retire on $100,000 a year. Want to have $100,000 a year for each year in your retirement. How much do you need? They're telling you to save $20,000 a year. If you're making $150,000 before taxes, you'll only need another 110 years. You only have to keep working for 110 years, saving $20,000 a year in order to come up with $2.2 million for retirement. There are a lot of impossible assumptions in this aggressive savings plan. For example, even if you reach $150,000 a year salary, you'll not make that forever. You're likely to be laid off one time or another and wind up taking less pay. Some of you will succeed and be billionaires, but most of you won't. Now, maybe you think this is a bit severe. After all, can't you put your money in the stock market where it can make some returns? You could, and you'd earn 4 to 6% a year conservatively, which would help you along. But this plan doesn't trust the stock market. Ideally, your $2.2 million would all be invested in riskless assets. And of course, there's no such thing as a totally riskless asset, with possible exception of gold. But in this case, riskless asset you should favor, according to their recommendation, is a kind of treasury bond that protects you against inflation. Oh, I mean the bonds, yeah, that's where we want to put our money all. We want to give all our money to the government. We want to invest in the government in treasury bonds. They can't sell their bonds into the free market. That's why the Federal Reserve has been buying them. That's why the European Central Bank is going to buy the bonds issued by governments in Europe, because the free market won't buy them at the price they want. I mean, all this is evidence that the bonds are certainly dangerous. But they point out they want you to put in a bank account or into these treasury bonds. But they go on to point out that no risk means no reward. Your capital is presumably safe, according to this article in the Treasuries. I disagree with that. But if it were safe, you're not going to make any interest on it. All right. So you're going to get a zero rate of return. All of this points to the idea that if inflation is predominant, the purchasing power of your savings will be diminished if you're in a zero rate of return investment that's risk-free. During a period of inflation, you're going to lose purchasing power on your savings. If you're in a period when deflation is predominant, the purchasing power of your savings will grow, but the nation will go into a depression. You'll lose your job, or at least you might, and at least your salary will be diminished, and you'll be less able to save for the future. Huh? Retirement should include only some thought to regular income, rental properties, insurance contracts, owning your own business, and a decent investment plan. This is their opinion on this. But if you had to make just one investment right now that you expected to last for 20 years, an investment that you could rely on for 10 years, 20 years, what would that investment be? Apple, General Motors, Microsoft, IBM, Berkshire Hathaway, or gold? And I doubt that there's anyone in the audience that would sit back and say, well, I'm going to get into Berkshire Hathaway, or I'm going to get into Apple. That's where I'm going to bet my future. If you had to wait for 20, if you had to take one investment now, what are you going to take? And there's a lesson there. All right, you got to get into gold. What we're going to do here, let me see where the clock is. We've got about a minute. The article continues. Saving enough is not the primary problem with our retirement system. The primary problem is that wages have been dropping for decades, leaving people with much less to save, especially people who live on far, far less than $150,000 a year. What they're coming to is they're just saying, look, you're not going to be able to save enough for your retirement. The vast majority of people will not be able to save enough for their retirement. And that's the essential point of this article that's published in The Guardian. And there are implications in that that we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to take some commercial announcements when we come back. What are the implications of living in a world where it is increasingly improbable that you will be able to retire? I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival Programs, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We've been reading from an article in the Guardian, which is an English publication, and the headline is Why the Multi-Million Dollar Retirement is Not for the Middle Class. And they've gone through and done some mathematics here that says, look, you can't save enough to provide for your retirement, or most people can't. Now, it depends on what kind of retirement. They use the example of someone who's making $150,000 and they get $100,000 after taxes, and they'd like, when their retirement, they're planning that they'd like to retire on $100,000 a year. Now, if you want to retire at $20,000 a year, yeah, this becomes a workable situation. You can save enough to get that done. But if you're living at $100,000 and you want to retire at $100,000, the mathematics make it almost virtually impossible for you to sustain that income. And the same principle applies. If you're living at $25,000 a year, all right, and you'd like to retire at $25,000 a year, the mathematics makes it virtually impossible that you'll be able to do that. You're going to have to take a big cut in your standard of living if and when you get off into retirement. Now, the implications of this article are that if you can't save enough for your retirement, it's a virtual certainty that no one else can either. All right? In other words, private pension funds, 401ks, and government will be at least as unable to save as you are. You can't save for your retirement. What do you think? You think I can save for your retirement, or Melody can, or the government can? Or we're all going to be under a state of financial stress that's going to be make things difficult for all retirees. Some of us will be well-heeled and will be able to get by with an adequate retirement. But where those of you who thought you're going to live large during your retirement, the idea of I want to travel and see the world, well, you may be able to go down, you know, cut across the county line or whatever once in a while, take a look at the next county, but you may not be going to Tahiti. Now, again, if you can't save enough for your retirement, no one else can either. And I'm not talking about what's happening right now. When I am talking about the foreseeable future, we're coming on that moment where you won't be able to save enough, government won't be able to save enough, and my point is that if the economic conditions are changing so you can't provide for your own retirement, you can't rely on government to do any better. Now, what's this all mean? It means maybe you're not going to retire. Maybe you're going to need a job to put food on the table long after you turn 65. That's one of the implications. If the math in this article is valid, if the fundamental argument in the article is valid, it means that you're not going to retire at 65, or at least many of you won't. You know, you thought, oh yeah, I'm going to retire, or I might even take early retirement. Yeah. No, maybe you're not. Maybe you're going to have to keep on working, and this isn't news. People already are postponing their retirement, and they continue to work beyond 65. Now, it's fortunate that they can work. Right? The bodies and their minds are not so worn out by working as may have been the case a generation or two ago, or just so beat up that get to 65, you weren't going to last much longer anyway. Now you're good for a couple more decades, maybe, if you get to 65. Won't be a surprise. And can you retire during these decades? Maybe not. For most of us, retirement will be at least one, postponed beyond 65 years of age. Two, it'll be at a much lower standard of living than we may have once enjoyed or hoped to enjoy in our golden years. Our retirement, if there is one, could devolve into abject poverty if, one, we don't save aggressively, and two, we trust our savings to an unreliable class of investments. And there's a third possibility here also, if we lose our jobs. Huh? What we're going to here is a possibility. If you're not going to retire, if you can't retire, if you can't save enough for retirement, then it follows that you can't retire. If you can't retire, then by definition, you're going to have a job. You're going to have to perhaps start thinking that way. Most of us may have to begin to rethink our plans for retirement. The whole idea of retirement may be fast fading into some dim recollection of a magical era, sort of like Camelot, when people could stop working and just enjoy their lives. The odds are growing that you may not ever retire, at least not until you're completely disabled physically or mentally. At that point, you can't expect to live much longer. The golden years of retirement that you may have hoped for may be transformed into several golden months spent in the hospital between the time when you quit working and the time when you pass on. These are grim thoughts, but they nevertheless high probability that they may be true. Implications of diminishing prospect for retirement go far beyond the fate of senior citizens. We say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to retire. Well, yeah, that's going to be tough on the senior citizens. But is that all? If we're entering an era when retirement is only for the rich, and most senior citizens must work or live in poverty, what will that same era mean for the young who are unemployed and dependent on some sort of government welfare or subsidy? If senior citizens can't save enough money to support a decent retirement, what probability is there that the government will have enough money to fund welfare for the poor and subsidies for the upper classes who are still young, middle-aged, and able-bodied and able to work? If the circumstances are such that you can't save enough for your retirement, the government can't save enough for your retirement, what makes anyone think there's going to be money left for the people who are on welfare or depend on government subsidies? The probability, I don't doubt, I'm not predicting that welfare is going to end, but I'm going to predict that it's going to be diminished. Subsidies might end, for the rich. There's too. I don't believe in subsidizing the rich at all. I think it's crazy. I mean, I can understand welfare. I'm not. I think it's a bad idea in a lot of respects, but I can understand welfare. I think subsidies for the rich. It's bad business to make us dependent on government for our survival. But even whether it's good business or bad business, if there's not enough money around for you to provide for a decent retirement, I just don't see where we're going to find the money to fund welfare and government subsidies. If we're right about this, decreasing likelihood that most Americans will enjoy a comfortable retirement signals that the whole nation is heading toward an era of lower wages, fewer jobs, more poverty. Huh? We're not going to get, there's not going to be the recovery. At least it's not on the horizon right now. Yeah, the upper 1%, the upper 10%, they may do okay. But for the vast majority of Americans, there is not a recovery in our immediate future. What can you do to protect yourself? First of all, you need to adjust your thinking to recognize that you may never retire. Right? If you are one of the people who haven't been able to save enough money for your retirement, you need to rethink the idea, well, I'm going to turn 65, I'm going to get the watch, and I'm going to kick back and go fishing. No, maybe not. Maybe that is not going to happen, and you need to start thinking in those terms. I'm not saying that you won't retire. I'm not saying that retirement is impossible, but I am saying that it's becoming increasingly improbable. Two, you should recognize that if you never retire, by definition, you will need a job to survive as a senior citizen. Uh-huh. You need to start thinking that way. I'm going to need a job. And if possible, you need to protect your job by owning a viable business. Now, it's you can't just go out and just invest in a business, buy a business. You're risking capital to do that. But if you have a business, right, or you have access to one that you think that's good, that's solid, that's viable, not wishful thinking, got to be tough about this, but if you have access to a business that's likely to remain viable over the next 10 or 20 years, I don't care if it's making pastries, I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's rotting sewers, do you have access to a business that you could own that's likely to continue and do reasonably well over the next 10 or 20 years, then you maybe should grab hold of that business. Because owning a business, it's not easy to own a business. And there's a certain amount, there's risk involved with whatever capital you invest in it, but you can't be fired if you own the business. You understand? You can wind up being the crotchety old man or the crotchety old lady who's running the business, but nevertheless, you're the one person in the business whose job is secure. And if we're coming into a difficult time when retirement is not viable, you want to think now, what can I do to make sure I have a job in my 60s, in my 70s? What can I do? Business is one of them, is one solution to the problem. If it's viable, not easily done, won't be for everybody, but it's something you can think about. Fourth point, you need to save as much as you can. All right, you need to be aggressive about your savings. Fifth point, store your wealth in a form that's not easily destroyed by market fluctuations or collapse. The form, in my opinion, will not include stocks, bonds, pension funds, bank accounts, or even stack $100 bills stuffed into your mattress. From my perspective, the best form to ensure that you have savings or a viable source of income is either going to be a viable business or something like gold and silver. All right? You're going to have something that will protect you, and I doubt, again, if the mathematics and the fundamental thrust of this argument are correct, they're telling you you're probably not going to retire. So, Melody, I know you were going to break out the hats and the champagne today, but I'm suggesting that maybe this is not quite the day to party just yet. Maybe you're not going to retire.
No, I retirement is not my plan. I mean, I do believe that you work for as long as you can. The problem is so many people who don't have their own business, certainly the jobs are going to be scarce. You're going to have the younger generation, and we all know the older we get, the harder it is to find those jobs. And, you know, plus we're not as, you know, even running your own business when you're 70 and, you know, it gets a little, you know, it's... You know, you don't have the energy that you once did. So
yes, but you can always hire some young kid and get them. Do the other thing.
The whole thing of it is, if our whole economy and if we're not looking for a very good future, it's going to be very difficult for retirees to have any type of a job or to run business. I mean, we talk about inflation, deflation, and, you know, those things make it difficult to have businesses because either, you know, your money doesn't, you know, get spent or you don't have any. So
yeah, it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
No matter.
So it is. Now, I can remember, my gosh, if you had $100,000, you could retire comfortably.
Yeah.
Now you need $1 million+.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. It just depends on what standard
you're comparing
of living
to. If you're comparing apples to apples to $100,000, it is $1 million+, you know, for the same type of retirement that you at once could on $100,000.
Well, if you want to live, if you don't mind living at, say, a $20,000 a year lifestyle, and you want to retire, live on $20,000 a year, that's good for you. That's good for me. I don't mind. But you'll need, according to this article, you're going to need $440,000 in savings to support yourself at $20,000 a year for the balance after you retire. Now, I don't think many people are going to come up with $440,000 in savings. There is a problem here that implies that a lot of us, and probably a majority of us, are going to, you get into your 60s and 70s, you're going to need a job. That's the implication. Or, unless you're prepared to get by on little or nothing. If you want to live in poverty, you can. That's not a problem. I mean, poverty is not the end of life and the rest of that sort of thing. It's okay. It's not that terrible. You know, if you can get by and put food on the plate, yeah, you get by. But
the terrible thing, Al,
lifestyle.
The terrible thing is here we have retirees who have to reduce. And yeah, I get the whole, you know, Social Security system and so forth. But here you have a retirees who are now looking to where they have to either own their own business or work until they drop because we have a government that has overspent and has created inflation to where our dollars do not buy the same thing today as they did so many years ago. Yep. We need more and more money today to live. That is not going to go away anytime soon. Yep. So our government, Washington, Wall Street, has put people in this position, and just like that billionaire had mentioned over in Davos, traveling with his family nannies in their private jet, hey, America has it tough, and people are going to have to look to our lower lifestyle.
That's exactly
get it. Over it, accept it. Well, no, we shouldn't accept it. We should go to those and get things changed so that we can have a monetary policy that we can change our economy around. And it's not like we're going to have the option of doing it. It's just going to happen because the day of reckoning is coming to where these decisions and our monetary policy will change. So, you know, people will have a choice. They can prepare for that time, or they can just go down with everyone else and live in that lower lifestyle.
That's what the real choice is this. You can continue to live in a fantasy world, and the government will encourage you to do so. All right? And a lot of your neighbors will encourage you to do so. Or you can open your eyes and start to deal with the truth and govern yourself accordingly. I mean, this is a situation much like riding on the Titanic. That's, you know, that metaphor is overused probably, but just the same. Everybody on the ship is saying, oh, the ship can't possibly sink, and, you know, yay, let's go to the lounge and have a couple cocktails and so on. Right? But some of the people are looking around and saying, you know, we're going through icy waters here, and those look like icebergs to me. And I think I'm going to get my life jacket and keep it very close at hand. All right? I also think I'm going to stay close to the lifeboats, or just in case. And I can jump in and before we run out of lifeboats, because there aren't enough lifeboats on the ship. There weren't on the Titanic. They were so sure it couldn't sink, they didn't have enough lifeboats. We have something similar to that in this country. We have a government and an economy. Oh, can't possibly sink. Well, we'll see.
It's coming.
You stay close to the lifeboats, and that means stop living in a fantasy. We're going to take a break for some more commercials, and Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We've been talking about retirement, and I guess Melody has a retirement special.
Yes, I certainly do, and I have two comments, two emails from Murray that he sent us. The first one, he says, gold doesn't pay interest because it is the ultimate currency. When you say fiat currency, because it is the ultimate currency, when you say fiat currency, interest has to be paid because it has inherent risks associated with it. To be a successful retiree, you must save your wealth in gold and silver, spend your fiat for necessities, and stay out of debt. Yeah. And he is absolutely correct. Yeah. And he also wrote in and continued on to say, the minimalist retirement savings strategist is just one strategy. Man, I can't talk today, Alfred. Is just one major surgery away from being wiped out. And no comment about women not being able to talk. But absolutely. And, you know, look at our whole system. Look at the jobs that are available. Yeah, you can go find a job, but what the heck is it going to pay? Maybe you can find a part-time job. It's good to work. I get that. I was telling Al during the break, my uncle, he was fortunate. He got to work till he was 80. I think he was 81 when he retired. That's fantastic. And
how long did he live after that?
He's still living. He's only 82.
All right.
So he just retired. And the only reason he did retire, he would have worked another year. But he retired because his wife had a little medical problem. So, you know, he retired to take care of her. So, he's very fortunate. I hope
he's
I was blessed.
He's to have a job that he can do till
mm-hmm.
He's fortunate to be healthy enough to do that job, and he's fortunate to have an employer who kept him on that long. He must have been good at his job.
Well, he's just very likable. he was there for 20 years. He actually took the job after he actually retired.
Yeah.
He retired, got bored, went back to work. And, you know, they were just it was for a school district. And, my uncle's very likable. So that's, you know, everybody calls him Uncle Bob. But anyway, retirement special today. We're going to give you a mixture, a Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens. 1 ounce Gold Eagle coin. You'll receive one Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens. One American Gold Eagle, 1 ounce. You will receive 20 Silver Eagles. That's 1 ounce each. And you'll also receive 90% silver, $25 face value. And that total package is $3,600, and that includes all your shipping costs. So it's a great little package. You get a little diversification from the numismatic coins, the semi-numismatics, the Mint State 63 St. Gaudens. You get the bullion gold eagle coin. You get silver eagles, 20 of those, and I believe those dates I think we are now have the 2015s and the 90% silver mixture of quarters and dimes. $3,600 includes your shipping costs. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Got an article here entitled "The Real Finding the Real Price of Money." This was published in GoldEagle.com. It says four major monetary zones. I assume they don't identify them, but I assume they mean the United States, Japan, Europe, and presumably China, have collectively printed over 40 trillion currency units, call them dollars if you want, over the past 6 or 7 years. Most agree that about 180,000 tons of gold exists above ground. At today's price of around $12.50 per ounce, that was when the article was written, a little higher than that. But nevertheless, at that price, that translates into about the amount of gold is worth about $7.2 trillion. It's above ground right now. The gold price would need to rise at least 5.5 times to back all of the 40 trillion in world fiat currency that's been printed in the last 6-7 years. And that would work out to about $7,000 per ounce of gold. At a 10-to-1 ratio, they're saying 10 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, that would put silver somewhere around $700 an ounce. The only way to pull this monetary fiasco together, and they're talking about the whole world global financial system, without defaulting the entire edifice, is to revalue the metals to that level. Would the world's governments do that? No way. Will it happen? Naturally, they say, and I'd say inevitably, perhaps. Though not without disorder and confusion. Well, it's just a little article. All right. Here's someone that does a little figuring, and he comes up with a number that gold would have to go up to something like $7,000 an ounce to back all of the fiat currency that's out there. They're not going to back all the fiat currency that's out there. Nobody has any intention of backing all that currency.
I mean, there's these numbers been floating around.
No, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen numbers that if you base, to figure it out per debt. With all the debt in the world, you're looking at $50,000 for an ounce of gold. But certainly, and I think the debt is because this is the debt, as you often say, it's too big. It can't be paid.
Can't be paid. The debt is, and then what can't be paid won't be paid. And if you're holding a financial debt instrument, all right, a piece of paper with someone's signature on it that has a number in the upper right-hand corner. Those are debt instruments. They include stocks and bonds and dollar bills and pension accounts and bank accounts and the rest of that sort of thing. And if you're holding that piece of paper, you are holding a debt instrument. It's not a payment. And the time is coming when we are not going to, when we're not going to be able to pay, it's going to be admitted that we can't pay the debt. It's obvious to anyone who looks at it, we can't pay the debt. But it's our little secret. We're just going to pretend. Let's pretend there's nothing wrong. We're all okay.
But you know what, Al? People must believe that the debt will continue because they're more than happy to keep the shares, their paper, and to continue as though everything is fine. We'll just continue as is. You know, they don't even want to even – there's lots of people who recognize that there is a day of reckoning coming. But, you know, hey,
they don't know what else to do about it. The you know, the total ignorance, not just about the economy and the financial system, but just even the nature of money and the nature of investments, the ignorance level is huge, right? We have been conditioned to think certain ways. That conditioning is based on certain things you could do that would be successful in the past. We've been led to believe that they will continue to be successful. You know, I'm inclined to look at it and say, no, I don't think so. You know, I'm looking at it, I say, I think your fundamental premises are wrong here. And when you try to explain that to other people, they'll look at you as if you are speaking in tongues and say, what's wrong with that guy? You got to invest in the Dow. Don't you understand? The Dow Jones. That's what you got. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. All you get when you invest your wealth. You know, you can sit back and say, I'm only investing some paper dollars. You got those dollars, or most of you got those dollars, by virtue of your work, your sweat, right? Your effort. And they gave you some pieces of paper. And that is, and insofar as you're able to save any of those pieces of paper, that's a measure of how much wealth you are saving. What is the wealth? It is how much you produced and didn't consume. Your wealth is if you made $100,000 and you saved $20,000, you spent $80,000, that $20,000, there's wealth there. It's what you haven't consumed. You earned it, but you didn't consume it. You've saved it. All right, what are you going to do with it? Keep it in paper? You know, everybody knows what I'm going to say here. I mean, if you've listened to this program a few times, you know what I'm going to say, but all of that paper, there's more paper out there than can ever be repaid. And I don't know which paper is going to be paid. I don't know which paper is not going to be paid. But it's not going to be just a situation where 10% of the paper debt instruments aren't paid. It is inconceivable to me that the world is going to be able to pay 50%. I can't imagine that. Right? I can't imagine that they're going to be able to pay 50%. But even if they do, it'll be enough. Even if they are able to pay 50% of the debt, they're going to wipe out another 50% of the debt. What's that mean? It means 50% of all the paper debt instruments in the world are going to turn out to be worthless. And I don't think they can get to 50%. I don't think they can pay 50%. I don't think they can hold that together. I think this is going to go, when it goes down, we're going to have maybe 10, 20% tops that will be paid, the debt instruments that people are holding, the stocks, the bonds, the pension funds, the rest of it, 20% maybe, 10% more likely will get their money out of their wealth, their purchasing power somehow. I don't even know how. But those of you, from my perspective, when you look at that debt, the conclusion, the implication is obvious. You got to get out of that paper. Now, I know you have to deal with it. You have to do it's the way the world works. You got to have some paper. You got to have paper dollars. Go out there and buy some groceries. I get that. But if you got any, you have any wealth that you have stored up, it is, in my opinion, you're taking a significant and perhaps enormous risk by keeping that wealth, your energy, your blood, sweat, and tears that you put into the work over the years. That's your wealth. If you're storing it in the form of paper, it is vulnerable to fire, all right? And not just the kind of fire where the house catches on fire, the bank burns or something like that. It's vulnerable to an economic fire. And you take, in my opinion, a risk, a big risk. But people have been conditioned. They believe that's the way to go. They have confidence. And so they go that way. And when that, and in the worst case scenario, they are going to wish to God that they had not done so. Will we get the worst case scenario? Nobody knows. You know, it's worst case is the least likely, but doesn't mean that something very unpleasant isn't headed our way. And if so, you're going to be well off to, you know, keep your wealth, store your wealth, store your life. It's like your Kodak moments. You know, you can get got a little album, got a hard disk of space on your hard drive. You're keeping your Kodak moments, those little film mementos. That's what those dollar bills are. That's what your savings are. They are kind of like Kodak moments. And saying this is when I saved, you know, $200 back in September, and here's where I saved $500, and here's where I saved $100,000. All right. Well, if you're keeping those, your Kodak moments, you know, in nothing more than paper, you're taking a risk. On the other hand, storm in gold, storm in something tangible, something that won't burn, you are much better protected. There is no guarantee for any of this. There's always risk no matter what you do, and that's just the nature of life. But you can be prudent. You can just be sensible. But trying to communicate that to most Americans right now is an extremely difficult project. In part because if the kinds of ideas that I'm advocating right now, if those ideas are roughly correct, it points to a grim future. And not many of us want to face that grim future. You understand? It is uncomfortable. It requires a change in our mindset, a shift in responsibility. You have to start preparing things that you don't want to face. It's human nature not to want to consider them. No. But it doesn't excuse, human nature does not excuse a refusal to consider what may be coming. You have an obligation. Sit back, look at this, figure it out. Make up your own mind and see if you agree. I'm not telling you that my opinions on these things are absolutely accurate and they're God's word and God's own word or whatever. I'm not giving you prophecy here, but I am giving you what strikes me as logic, and you can look at it yourself and say, well, let's see if we do this. Let's calculate the debt. Let's divide it by the number of people. Let's see how much debt there is to be paid off, and can the individual man, woman, and child pay that level of debt? If it's not going to be paid, it means the correlative debt instruments are worthless. If those are worthless, the people that are storing their wealth in the form of these paper debt instruments are going to be wiped out. Do you want to be wiped out? If not, what do you do? It's not just a sales pitch. It is a, so far as I'm able to see, it's a true explanation of what is at least probable in our future. You know, I'm not telling you that the Titanic is definitely going to sink, but I am telling you that we are in precarious circumstances where it'd be a good idea hang on to that life vest and stand close to a lifeboat. Lifeboat, you may be needing it. You may also be needing to tune in to Melody and myself tomorrow. We'll be back at that time. We're out of time today. We will return tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my